Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on the 16th day of July 2023, Sunday. And indeed, this is the voice. It is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, the message is titled, Because Thou Art Lukewarm. And Alexis de Tocqueville has been credited with stating that all that is necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing, which some say he really didn't say that, but I believe he did. He also said America was great because America was good. And if America ever ceased to be good, she would cease to be great. And, well, folks, America really has ceased to be good. And America has now been conformed to the world. Her churches were the, at one time, and even in my lifetime, I remember how the churches, they were the pillar of morality. Today, there's only a remnant of the professing body of Christ that is not apostatized. Today we see the apostate churches, those what they call the liberal churches, the United Church of Christ. We see the Episcopal, a lot of the Pilgrim, the World National Council of churches. And here we've seen how they embrace what God's Word, the Bible, calls an abominable thing. They embrace child killing. They call it abortion. They embrace sodomy. They embrace pedophilia. They embrace transgenderism. And they all actually teach that it's a form of Christian love for these things. Some of them actually will even teach that the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, was a homosexual, which God's Word, the Bible, is clearly defines as an abomination, an unclean thing. In fact, one of the old Jewish definitions was the stench of rotting flesh in the nostrils of a holy God. But these are the days that we're living in, as we see here in the Bible. Things aren't falling apart as much as they're all falling in place, exactly the way God's Word, the Bible, said they would. Now, with that, you have to understand, we're here today. God has raised us up, you and I, for such a time as this. And we've got a couple of options as we go through the message. We'll see. He makes it very clear that this life that we live is like, compared to eternity, is like a vapor that appears for an instant and then it's gone. But that's the amount of time we have in this body to place up crowns in heaven. This is a very serious thing, folks. You see, once you leave this world, eternity starts. And if you hadn't placed up those crowns, if you had not secured your rewards, well, it'll be too late. Now, in fact, but something even much, much, much more important than that. If you're listening to me tonight, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, if you cannot say to me, Pastor, I know that if I died tonight, I'd go home to be with the Lord, then what you really need to do is you need to make your salvation sure. You're on very, very shaky ground. You're on very shaky ground. And I can tell you, if I wasn't sure of my salvation, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night until I was sure of my salvation. This is again, the time will come, as it has come for everyone who has ever lived and died, when the only thing that'll matter to you at all is your standing with the Lord Jesus. Folks, there's no in-between. You're either saved or you're lost. And boy, I'm going to tell you, you don't want to be the latter. Now, we at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, we still hold to the very first principles of the oracles of God without compromise. And so, tonight we're going to start in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we read, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, here, sacrifice means you die to the world. It's mentioned several places in the Bible, dying to the world to live in obedience to Christ. To live in obedience to Christ, we have to die to the world. And the interesting thing, too, is when we read here, when it says that it is your reasonable service. That word reasonable in the Greek is the word logikos, which we get the word logical. In other words, it's only logical that you present your body as a living sacrifice. And he goes on to say there too, that word, and it says, and which is your reasonable service. And that word reasonable, latrium, in the Greek means service as a priest. So in other words, he's telling you that it's only logical that we as believers use our body and live our lives as holy before the Lord as priests. And he says here, and be not conformed to the world. But the renewing of your minds, he talks about go back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. I can tell you this. You should only have to read the Bible 7 days a week, folks. And I know a lot of people, you know, when you say this, I get some looks back like 7 days. Let me explain something to you. You can't learn too much of the Word of God. Again, this Bible right here, God's Word, this King James Bible right in front of me here, has one, it is unparalleled. There is no other source of information in the world that can compare with what is in here. In other words, this Bible here, was written by extreme intelligence. You hear so much today of AI, artificial intelligence, right? Well, there's something else as UI, the ultimate intelligence. And the ultimate intelligence is what who's behind and is compromised, that has put together and this King James Bible. And it's absolutely amazing, because this is actually a living, breathing document. There's things that have been in the Bible for years right there, and people haven't really realized it, but they've come to life as needed when the time has come. And this is where we're at today. Today we see very clearly the meanings there, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Romans chapter 1, how that time is here now, and we are living exactly in that time. And so here, I want to go now, I've got no tolerance at all for those that are apathetic. I feel that there's not much difference between the apathetic and the pathetic. I feel they're one and the same. But today, the apostate church out there, as we were talking about, and the reason I'm saying all of this, and we'll get to this here, the real reason things are happening the way they are is that our opposition, the devil's crowd out there, their goal first is to demoralize the church, and then after we demoralize the church, then their goal is to make it impotent. And so here, they have a plan, they have a scheme. But today, when we go and we look at the apostate church, reasons for conforming, and these are the things, if you've talked to people who belong to these liberal churches, which are really not Christian churches at all anymore. They've departed. They've literally embracing everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin. They'll tell you, if I preach against abortion the way you do, I'll offend many people in the church. Now, I one time had a conversation with a Presbyterian pastor. We were having lunch together. Well, we were having lunch at a pastor's luncheon, and he sat next to me. And he said to me that I listen to you on the radio, and I agree virtually with everything you say. I totally agree with your stand that you take. He said, but Pastor, he said, I could not possibly in my church, in my pulpit, preach the message you preach. If I preached against the sin of abortion, if I preached what you preach, that God's Word, the Bible, calls it murder, I would offend so many women in our congregation. Now, this man had good intentions. He wasn't thinking. And I got to admit to you, I was kind of really, maybe I should have had more patience with him. But I said, dummy, did you ever stop to think that if you were preaching against that horrible sin, if you'd been preaching against that horrible sin, America's national sin, then maybe you wouldn't have so many women in your congregation that have committed that sin. And he looked at me with a puzzled look on his face, and he said, whoa, he said, you're right. I'm going to have to rethink that. I'm going to have to repent of that. And I said, that'd be a good thing to do. Other times you've heard, well, listen, if we preach against sodomy, we're going to offend the LGBTQ. And you know what happens when you offend the LGBTQ, right? They'll come after you. Well, let me tell you, Would you rather offend the LGBTQ by not offending the LGBTQ, by not rebuking that horrible sin? You're offending God. You're offending God, and I got news for you. The last person that you want to offend is God. I've heard him say, well, if I preach against pedophilia, I'll offend the entire Democratic Party elite. I mean, they're awash with pedophilia. I'll offend Hollywood. I'll offend the mainstream media. They don't even want to bring it up. I'll offend the NEA, you know, the teachers' union. I'll offend Disney. They've become pedophilia world out there, or Disney pedophilia land. They've degenerating so fast, they've lost half their, just in the last couple of years, half their worth. I'll offend the entire school boards out there that will not let parents stand up and read from the books that they have in the school libraries because they say that those passages out of the books, what they're reading, is not acceptable to be read in public. Yet, they want to shove it down the throats of our children. I've heard them say, well, if I hold to high moral standards, well, I'll offend some of my family members. I'll offend my family members or co-workers. And I'll come across, if I keep preaching and hold to and have such high standards where I boycott, you know, like Target stores and I tell people I have standards and I try to live with morality and decency, well, people are going to think that I believe that I'm holier than thou. And that's going to offend a lot of people, even some church members who believe that tolerance of the behavior of others is a show of Christian love. Well, I got news for you. The man who was the most intolerant of what we call the woke or liberalism, of those things we just preached about, the most intolerant man, the most judgmental that ever walked the face of the earth was the Lord Jesus himself. Now, when it comes to ignorance and apathy, I actually heard a man say this. He said, well, when it comes to ignorance and apathy, I don't know much of it, and I really don't care about it. Well, it kind of says it all, doesn't it? A blind eye and a deaf ear. I want to turn now over to James chapter 1 and read verses 22 through 24. But be you doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and then goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Well, each time you fail to answer God's call, it becomes easier the next time to fail to answer God's call. What he says, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, deceiving yourself. You know, if I witness to these people, they may be offended and may reject me. But if I don't witness to these people, if I don't refute and rebuke and reprove, then again, I'm going to offend God. And I'd much rather offend the sinner than the Lord himself. Now, I don't want people to think that I'm a Jesus freak. I've heard people say that. Well, I don't want people to think that I'm a Jesus freak. In fact, some years ago, there was a judge in a courtroom, and there were myself and two other pastors in that courtroom. And we were telling him that how there was a family of six and they girls, and they wanted to divide these girls up and put them all in separate homes when there was a home available, a church home, in a Christian school, and that they could take all six of those girls and keep the family together. So we were there on behalf of that family, and this judge referred to us. He said, it's all right to have religion, but you guys are Jesus freaks. Well, that judge immediately regretted that he made that statement, because he immediately got three fiery responses to that, and he had to very quickly apologize for his actions. Now, here, I've actually heard people say, well, you know, God understands. God understands. I see people. I'm just not the kind of person that wants to pray in public. If I'm in a restaurant and I want to have a meal, first of all, you'll embarrass the people that are with you. Okay. And so, what did you do? You just failed another test of faith. You just failed another test of faith, folks. And I've seen this happening with people. I've seen people, and I know that there's been times when I have prayed, and there has been people that were at the table, and they were kind of looking around to see if people were looking at them. Let me tell you, the Lord God, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, so shall I be ashamed of you before the Father. And boy, I'm going to tell you, it's a sad day for you if that ever happens. If that happens to you, it's a very sad day for you, believe me. And so, now I want to go over to before I go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let me go over there. I wanted to just say that the plan, the opposition, what they're doing, why things are being sped up the way they are, why they keep pushing more and more death, disgrace, dishonor upon the American people. When we see that when they want to legalize pedophilia, they want to change the names of pedophiles to those that are minor attractive people, okay? They want to embrace more and more sin. Just it's horrible. They want more and more abortion. It's right from the pit of hell. Everything that is called progressive today, it reeks with sin, and the stench of death is all over it. And today, here, the plan and the scheme to demoralize the church and to make it impotent. I remember very clearly, and I know I've mentioned this many times, but back in the 60s when the German Enlightenment movement came to America, and I was watching this, and I would see on these stations how they were adopting it, and especially those that were professing Christian psychologists, and I was watching these men who were becoming very effeminate. They were, in other words, when they talked, they sounded like they wanted to be men who wanted to be sweeter than Jesus. They just weren't manly. They weren't manly. I had a real problem with it. And here, that movement that came in and it was sweeping through the seminaries, and that was that men, pastors, needed to learn how to become in touch with their feminine parts, this is teaching that came on that somehow all of us had a feminine part. And they had false teachings like the Trinity was a family, and you know, God was the male part, the Father. You had a son, but the Holy Spirit was a mother. It was trying to come across. This is just false teachings, folks. And I knew at that time I didn't have any feminine parts at all. And so then you had this movement to put women in the pulpit. And now I knew a couple who so-called women pastors, and they said, well, we know what the Bible teaches, but that was taught, that was for a different time. Things have changed. No, God's word doesn't change. God's word was very clear. God's word, women are not to be pastors. They are not to pastor churches, okay? Now, they can teach in the church. They can teach women and children, but they are not to have authority over the men. The church, the Bible, again, is very clear on that. It doesn't stutter a bit. Now, here, and it's an interesting thing, too, because about 90% of these so-called women pastors nowadays are lesbians. And, of course, they say, well, again, lesbianism is just women showing Christian love to other women. No, it's not. God says it's an abomination. It's an abominable thing. Read Romans chapter 1. And then, again, that movement coming in was to teach the flock to be non-judgmental and tolerant of worldliness, sin. And by doing that, and I'm hearing the young people today, and the young people really don't know. They really don't know. They actually believe that acceptance of LGBTQ, and if you were to say the word sodomy, they don't know what that means. But the acceptance of that is a way of showing Christian love. No, it's not a way of showing. It's a way of compromising. It's a way of being conformed to the world. And these young people don't really know. They become simple-minded. Now, again, recently, the pedophile president, Joe Biden, once again defiled the White House. But before I go there, I'm going to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from amongst them, be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, in Deuteronomy, it's an interesting thing, because in Deuteronomy 22, verse 10, and in Leviticus 19:19, it forbids the plowing of an ox, which is a strong, hard-working beast, with a jackass. It forbids them to be yoked together, to plow together, because they pull in different ways, much different. And I find it very interesting to see that the symbol of the Progressive Party, the symbol of those that rebel against God, those that want to embrace abortion, those that want to embrace sodomy, those that want to embrace pedophilia, that their symbol is a jackass, which I think is fitting. Now, here, he's telling you, wherefore come out from among them, be you separate. Now, we are to separate ourselves from one, the apostate church that we just talked about, those that embrace sin. But we're to separate ourselves from the mainstream media. We're to separate ourselves from the NEA, which holds to all of these things, the Planned Parenthood, which is a horrible, creeping, crawling death. We're to have nothing to do with these, with the Target stores or Kohl's, those that promote this horrible pedophilia and transgenderism, with Disney, that again has turned, they've lost half their value because they went woke, and they were promoting LGBTQ, lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing. As one pastor has said, let God burn them quickly. It's his definition. But here, we are to be separate. We are to have nothing to do. We're not to touch the unclean things. And these things are all unclean things. Now, again, just recently, the pedophile president once again defiled the White House. Now, at one time, the White House was so highly revered as a place of honor and a place of integrity that President Reagan so revered it that in its integrity that he refused to remove his suit jacket while he was in the Oval Office. Well, but thanks to Bill Clinton, he turned it into a place where you could have oral sex. Thanks to Obama's, with the sodomite, running the sodomite flag, and thanks to the Bidens, turning it into a whorehouse where you have naked drag queens running around. One of them even tried to hug Joe Obama himself, and a crack house. And by the way, it wasn't just once. It was three different occasions that they found crack. Now, those are the three occasions that the Secret Service will admit to in the White House. And so here, and then remember, I'll never forget, some years ago when the Clintons were in the White House, Hillary had decorated the Christmas trees, and one of the FBI agents that was in charge of security in there, he couldn't believe it. I had him out here on the radio program. He wrote a book. But he was on the air here with me, and he said how she would actually put sex toys and crack pipes and things. She would decorate the Christmas trees in the White House with those things. They thought it was funny. And here, it's a mocking of God. And of course, you saw again what Joe Biden did. It was just a horrible thing. What they have reduced. There's no integrity left there. It's just gone. And so, I wanted now to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 22. And in Deuteronomy chapter 22, we read verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, here, when I was in the military, the women in the military wore skirts. They wore skirts. When I was in the military, women did not go into combat. Okay? They wore skirts. They didn't wear pants. Well, they've changed that. But I know, I don't have a doubt in my mind that if Secretary General Austin or General in Command Milley, if they could, they'd turn the entire military into drag queens. I don't have a doubt in my mind. In fact, According to Romans chapter 1, the very last verse in that chapter, in my opinion, those two men, after listening and watching and seeing what they've done, not what they're saying, but what they've done, my opinion, they probably are both drag queens. And I'm not saying that to be mean or nasty, folks. It's just reality. To bring in on a military basis, to try to silence Christians, and then to bring in these drag queens, and that's what they've done in the military, and then deny it when they were caught. And then they'll lie under oath when they're questioned about it. And so here, this whole thing about these drag queens, one is to make a mockery out of women. They don't even get it. These liberal women, they don't get it. The whole thing is to make a mockery out of women. You got these ugly guys, and I probably saw one of the ugliest drag queens ever when I stopped at a restaurant with some men when I was coming back from preaching to a group or to a number of county sheriffs, and actually teaching them about biblical law. We stopped at a restaurant, and in there was this drag queen. He had a beard. He wore an ugly, ugly green dress that it was open and boy, the front and the back, exposing all the hair on him. Now, this was a real Democrat. I mean, he was a real Democrat, okay? And here, but to do this, now, a number of Baptist churches will not allow their women to wear pantsuits to church. We take the approach, we understand when this was written here, that both men and women, they wore more robes. But there was a major difference in a man's robe and a woman's robe, even in those days. And if a woman was caught wearing a man's robe, she would be admonished. And if a man was caught wearing women's clothing, he might even be stoned because it was an abominable thing. Now, today, you have men's slacks and you have women's slacks. Women's slacks are not, one, they're not to be tight-fitting. If they're tight-fitting, then that's wrong, okay? They're to be loose, and they're not to have a zipper in the front like a man. They're to be women's slacks, not men's slacks. And you say, well, you know, I don't agree with that. That's all right. Your argument's with God, and guess what? You'll lose every time, every single time. Because in the end, God's the one that's judging. You're the one judged. So, and again, in our church, our dress codes would be that women do not wear men's slacks, okay? And shame on the first man that comes in there wearing a dress. But anyhow, I want to now go over to Proverbs chapter 7. And in Proverbs chapter 7, we read, well, I think we're going to read the entire thing. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswomen. They that may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked throughout my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. It reminds me so much of our college kids today. Boy, are they void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait in every corner. So she caught him and kissed him with an impotent face, and said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. Therefore I come forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With a flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart striketh through his liver, as a bird hastes to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Now again, drag queens and women like those on The View make being a woman very, very demeaning. And the Bible refers to them as unclean. This has a very negative effect on the young girls. The so-called diversity movement in the acceptance of open marriage, hot wives, girls' nights out. By the way, you know, you hear this, and I was talking to a young woman, and I can tell she's not saved, and I can tell she's on the road, some real trouble. So I talked to her coworker, which is an older woman, and told her, because she kind of thinks that I know the opinion that I'm that fire-breathing, very conservative Baptist preacher, which may be true to an extent, but also, you know, I've witnessed to this woman in the past, and she was telling me how she's so ready because the work has been so tough. She's going with a girl's night out. And I can tell you this, I've done marriage counseling for many years, and a girl's night out, when they start having these girl's nights out and they start going to bars, that's the road, that's an open door to divorce. Divorce will soon follow. I've seen it over and over and over again. And, you know, what happens is these smartphones that these women have been, it's given them a new ability, a new, they feel, kind of freedom to cheat on their husbands. And I've actually heard some of them say that those smartphones are their, that's their privacy, and that's their space. And nobody, their husbands or nobody else, has the right to look on their phone without their permission. Well, I got news for those women to think that. You ought to read 1 Peter chapter 3. Not only does your husband have the right, he's got a duty to check on you and see what you're doing on those phones, because a lot of these women now are sending nude photos, and they think that only the people they're sending them to are seeing them, but they're not. They're being picked up, and they're being put out over the internet. And these women are learning a hard lesson. And by the way, the wife has got just as much a right, every bit as much right to See what's on her husband's phone. When you get married, you become one flesh, and you're not to have secrets from each other. And so here, and I don't want to hear about this. You know, those days have passed. This is 2023. Things are different. No, folks. Now, you also have this today, which they're talking about open marriages, which is acceptable. I heard a woman saying, telling her husband that you really need to get with the times. It's open marriage is something that's growing, and you need to go with the trends. No, you don't. And that's going to lead to divorce. You might as well just, you know, if that's where you're going, you might as well just go get it over with. By the way, God's word, the Bible, has something to say about divorce. Second shortest verse in the Bible. The very first shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. The second is three letters, three words. God hates divorce. He really hates divorce. And, well, I'm going to tell you, when you start down that open marriage, you're heading toward a divorce. When you start down that girls' night out, you're heading towards divorce. When you start out with wife swapping, thinking, well, and I've heard this, if our marriage is strong enough, it'll survive it. If our marriage, you idiots, what a dumb thing. That's like saying, well, if my immune system is strong enough, then it'll survive. I'll just go in and contact COVID or AIDS or something to see how strong my immune system is. That's stupid. And so remember, when you took those marriage vows, God was listening. God was listening. And so all of those things that we just mentioned, the open marriage, the hot wives, that's another thing that out there today. We see Jill Biden, who's supposed to be a hot wife. Now, God hates divorce, okay, folks? And I just mentioned that. If you women think that that your husband has no right, and vice versa, to see what's on your phones, read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now, I want to go, in fact, over to 1 Peter chapter 4. And in 1 Peter... No, before I do that, I think I want to go over to Isaiah. Yeah, let me go to Isaiah, and I'm passing it up again. In Isaiah, chapter 47, verses 1 through 3. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit in the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare thy leg. Uncover thy thigh and pass over the rivers. The nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. And I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Okay. In other words, he's not going to arbitrate or deal with them as a man would deal with them. In other words, God is making it very clear. Now, how God judged the Chaldeans, God's the same today and tomorrow forever. He's immutable. And America today is like the daughter of the Chaldeans who, and by the way, they were the ruling class. They were the ruling class in Babylon. They were known for their wickedness, like the Washington and the Hollywood elite today. And they were treacherous, the Chaldeans. And God dealt with them in that treachery. And, you know, again, God is immutable. He does things the same way. And I got a feeling God's going to deal with us, with America. Now, I want to go over to 1 Peter chapter 4 because, see, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And if we read over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, we read this. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Now, the professing church today is reaping what it sowed. Today, you know, it starts in the pulpit, folks. Judgment starts in the house of God, but it starts in the pulpit in that house of God. And those that fill the pews, those people that fill the pews of these churches, and they would rather have their ears tickled than their desire to serve God. Well, they deserve God's wrath. And here, again, today, here's how the pastors have failed God and the country. 1962, God was expelled from the public school system by corrupt courts. One wicked old woman got that. The pastors had the obligation. The pastors had the duty to march on Washington, D.C., and to put that court on trial for treason against God and country. They had the absolute obligation to do that. They failed. In 1973, a corrupt court that was supreme only in their sin, that was supreme only in the rebellion against God, when they declared what God has made unlawful, we will make legal through license, licentiousness. If you buy a license with mammon, we will authorize the transgression of God's dominion and the killing of his, the destruction of his image. That's what that wicked, wicked, corrupt court did in Roe v. Wade. Again, more than ever, the pastors had the obligation. They had the obligation, again, to march on Washington, D.C. There should have been 20,000, 30,000 pastors there, and placing that corrupt court on trial for treason against God and country, but the pastors failed again. Here, not long ago, they allowed same-sex marriage, same circumstances. The pastors again allowed it. They failed. Today, here, we've got, you know, and they failed to push back against tyranny. And today, again, here in Ohio, we've got what is coming up. We've got what they call this. They want to amend the Constitution. They want to use what they call women's reproductive rights. It's right from the pit of hell. It's right from the pit of hell. And I see their signs coming over, and I see their commercials, which commercials are made purposely to confuse people out there. And this dark, dark money coming in from out of state. Millions and millions of dollars. And if they get that. Now, it's so important that on August 8th, we vote yes. On August 8th, you vote yes on issue one. It's so important. You folks listening to me, you've got to tell everybody you know out there. You've got to tell everybody you know. Because if they get that horrible, horrible amendment on the ballot in November, if they passes, there will be no more parental rights in Ohio. There will be abortion for any reason right up until birth and maybe after. You parents will not even have any knowledge that your young daughter has gone and killed your grandchild until you get the bill. You'll have no knowledge that your young sons and daughters have gone and been mutilated by these animals, these beasts, which call themselves physicians, until you get the bill. And if you don't stand up and if you don't fight, you deserve it. If you won't stand and fight this thing with every breath that you have, then you deserve the worst that can happen to you. Now, I want to go here again to Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 16, we read this. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. And then in Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 26 through 31, her princes have violated my laws, now that's legislators, and profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. That's exactly what's happening in America. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed it blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. If that doesn't describe our government, I don't know what does. Her prophets, and that's the religious leaders, have dubbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies, and to them saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used robbery and oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yes, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Well, we had Donald Trump for a while that was standing in that gap. And here, folks, and they've removed him because of election fraud, because of the wickedness. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon him. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord. And that's what's coming to America, unless the people repent, stand up, and start resisting tyranny and pushing back against this wickedness. And then I'm going to finish tonight in Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 5. We read with just one verse tonight. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where with Christ that hath made us free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Look, folks, we, if you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, you are the children of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords and of the living God. You're not a second-class citizen that you would be told at NBC, ABC, and CBS. And it's time for you to stand up and act like you're the children of the living God and to take America back for righteousness, one nation under God again. Now, we're out of time for tonight. But if you're out there listening to me, and if what I've been saying doesn't make sense to you or repulses you, then you really need to repent, and you really need to call upon the name of the Lord. Because, folks, here's reality. You're going to die like everyone that has gone before us. And when you die, the judgment means you will end up in heaven or hell. That's just reality. It doesn't matter what you believe. That's what God has declared. And so if I were you tonight, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, you're running out of tomorrows quickly. Call upon the name of the Lord. Ask Christ to be Lord of your life, all of your life. Repent first. First, pray to the Father. These are the instructions by the Lord Jesus himself. Pray to the Father in his name. Ask the Father to forgive you of your sins. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. When you have to place him first. And if you'll do that, you'll become a new creature, born-again believer, filled with the Holy Ghost. We're out of time for tonight. Now, I want to say, as we do at this time every night, good night. I want to say, God bless. And I want to say, always, 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 and I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.